Now, it's a privilege to be here to preach the gospel at the beginning of this session, and we certainly are glad to see you, each and every one, and we trust it will be for your eternal blessing. We might read from the first book of the Bible, please, and chapter 3 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. The story of the entrance of sin into the world, a well-known account of Scripture. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, I, the serpent, beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Chapter 4, please. And verse 3. Then the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. The book of Job, please. And chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And we have the words of Job himself here in verse 15. Job 23 and verse 15. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. The book of the Acts, please, in chapter 11. Speaking of Cornelius, verse 13, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Back to chapter 10, please, verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou art well done that thou art come, Cornelius says to the apostle Peter. And therefore are we all here present before God. I like our Spanish Bible. It says, Now therefore we all here in the presence of God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now will you turn with me for a final reading, please, to the second book of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Oh, Lord, we richly bless the public reading of the Word of God. Now, I think it will be evident to you that what we wish to speak on this evening is the presence of God. And I want to say to any of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as yet, there isn't a better place that you could be anywhere on the face of this earth tonight than here in the presence of God to hear words whereby you can be saved for eternity. And I was impressed as I thought on what to speak this evening with Acts chapter 10 and verse 13 with Cornelius. He says, immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. These are his words. And I'm quoting from the Spanish Bible here. Now therefore are we all here in the presence of God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Now here was a man who realized himself, he found himself in the presence of God, and I want to tell you, then, he was willing to listen to what God had to say, and he obtained great and wonderful blessings. This man in the presence of God obtained repentance. He obtained forgiveness of sins. He obtained salvation, and he obtained everlasting life. And it's our prayer, it's our earnest desire, that if any have not these blessings tonight, that you might find them right here in the hall where you are, in the presence of God. And that you'll not go out of the presence of God as some others did, without receiving these wonderful blessings. What can equal joy divine, or what can sweeter be, than to know the soul is saved throughout eternity? My friend, I trust that if you're not saved, that that is your desire. That's our desire. We haven't come just to preach a gospel message. Our desire is that you might be saved for time and for eternity. But there must be a disposition of soul. This man was ready to listen to what God had to say from his word. He says, therefore have I sent unto thee. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear what God said. What was it that made this man, Cornelius, willing to hear what God said in the presence of God? First of all, I read that he feared God. Dost thou not fear God? He feared God.
And God has spoken to him in a most remarkable way. And he learned that he needed to be saved. With this man, with all his wonderful life, really, a man with such a respectable life. And when he learned that if he didn't get saved, he'd be lost immediately, he seeks out Peter, and he's just glad to be in the presence of God to hear words whereby he might be saved. And I want to speak to you tonight from these portions that we've read about three things relative to the presence of God. First of all, we want to think of Genesis chapter 3. Men, the woman, Adam, Eve, and Job, fearful in the presence of God. Acts chapter 10, forgiveness in the presence of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, fleeing from the presence of God. First of all, the presence of God is a fearful place. And here we find our first parents, as they had sinned, the story of their fall is well known, and how they disobeyed God, and they partook of the forbidden fruit of the tree, and all of a sudden they realized that they had sinned. What smote their consciousness? What made them afraid? What made them hide? Was the presence of God. God drew near, and they heard his voice as he walked close to them. And as they realized they were found in the place of a holy God in their sins, they felt the condemnation of it. They felt the terror of the Lord. It grasped their hearts. They realized we're guilty, and they were afraid in the presence of God. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you that if we are afraid in the presence of God here, there's forgiveness and salvation. But if not, then be assured of this, that every one of us, if we don't take our place in the presence of God and for the acknowledgement of our sin and guilt and looking for salvation, we will find ourselves sooner or later in the presence of God. That's what Amos says. Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. That's why souls, when they come to the end of life's journey, and we've seen them ourselves, laying on a dying bed and gripping the sides of the couch for fear of going out to meet God. We're afraid, not of dying, my friend. It takes 5 seconds to die. But meeting God. My friend, have you thought what it would be to be in your sins and to die that way and go out and stand in the presence of God? And Adam and Eve, as they found themselves here, and the question was asked, where art thou? Where were they with respect to the presence of God? And their sin was brought before them, and they were expelled from the presence of God because of their sins. They were driven out from the presence of God. My friend, God wants us to get located and understand where we are in the light of a holy God, that our sins have separated between us and our God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and if we die in our sins, where Christ is, we can never be. We will be eternally separated from the presence of God. My friend, Adam and Eve, when they sensed their sin and their guilt in the presence of God, they were afraid. Would to God that you would be afraid tonight. But I want to tell you, if you're not afraid now, you'll be afraid when, in that coming day of the judgment, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. When you're ushered into the presence of God, and the earth begins the elements begin to melt, and souls will cry upon the mountains of the hills and fall upon them to hide them from the face of the Lamb. And souls are ushered into the presence of the Judge of all the earth, and the books are opened and you stand before God. That was what Job contemplated in Job chapter 23. And as we are reading these words of Job together, he says, "Therefore, I am troubled in his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him." What made Job think of being in the presence of God? What was it that disturbed him? What made him ask, "If a man dies, shall he live again? When a man dies and give up the ghost, where is he?" He was wanting to be sure of where he would be, that he wouldn't come under the judgment of God. And he was afraid of going out to meet God. I tell you, he lost all his wealth, lost his business, lost his home, lost all his wealth. He lost his health. And he lost loved ones, I tell you. When you see the things all disappearing, it should make you think about, it's only a step between me and death. My friend Job, as he contemplated going out into the presence of God, "Does God, I seem so insignificant, does God take account of me?" Yes, he does, my friend. God knows our sins, and we, each one of us, shall give an account of himself to God. We're responsible. My friend, no wonder Job was afraid, and he wanted assurance and peace with God. He wanted to know that I'm right with God before I die. Thank God, because he faced it. Because he was fearful in the presence of God in time. He was forgiveness. I want to tell you tonight that God is a God of forgiveness. There is forgiveness with God. If you and I are willing to face the reality of our sins in the presence of God. I know a lot of you have heard this story, but I'll repeat it for those who have not heard it, down in Costa Rica, one of the young men that's in the assembly now, he was a drug addict, and he had spent a lot of his time in jail. And because of that, he knew what judgment was. He knew what the punishment of sin was. And as we were preaching from a gospel chart in his home, he was looking at the little diagram there in the right-hand corner of the lake of fire, and the words of Matthew 25, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And my, he thought of what it would be to be, as we were reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 1, shut out of the, excluded from the presence of God, everlasting destruction from the presence of God. And he thought, all the time that I spent in jail, it was always light at the end of the tunnel. I knew that the sentence, the judgment would come to an end. But as I saw those words, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment," I realized that if I died in my sins and went down to hell and was cast into the lake of fire, it would be everlasting punishment, never, never, never to find the presence of God again in blessing. Excluded, shut out of the presence of God forever. Oh, my friend, don't die in your sins and go down to hell. You'll be excluded from the presence of God forever. God is love. It's not a place of love there. God is light. There won't be a ray of light there. It's everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. My friend, do not fear God. Well, if you do, I want to tell you that there's forgiveness here. And that's what we were reading in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius had been brought to that point where he wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. And when he was there in the presence of God, just willing to hear all things that God commanded, Peter unfolded the wonderful message of the gospel. And first of all, before he told them what God commanded, he gave them the word of peace that God has sent. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that for sinners that realize their sin and their guilt before God and they're heading down to hell, that there is a word of peace? That God sent the word teaching peace by Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, friend, if you're going to get peace with God, if you're going to know that your soul is saved for all eternity, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the question of your sins, for that question was settled once for all at the place of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be justified by faith and have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Peter sought to tell this wonderful message concerning the Lord Jesus. And I like the two things I've been noticing concerning this word of peace. It was peace to preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. I want you to notice, I want to tell you who this wonderful Savior is tonight. I want to tell you that He's the Lord of all. I want to tell you that the one who was born of Mary yonder in Bethlehem, that was none other, the one who trod this scene doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want to tell you that He's Lord of all.
Lord of all creation! For He created all things by the word of His power.
Then you can't trust Him for the salvation of your soul.
Why, the Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He's the Lord of all creation. Wonderful Savior.
He's the Lord of all of each of us that have trusted Him as our Savior. And He's your Lord too, if you don't, even though you don't want to recognize Him, because I tell you, if you die without Him as your Savior, the time will come when you bow the knee and you'll confess that Jesus is Lord. And then I read that He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil, for God was with Him. God's lovely Son never sinned. He knew no sin. No guile, no thoughts of sin, no deeds of sin, no acts of sin, because He was the Son of God, and God was with Him every second of every minute of every hour of every day.
He was here. God was with Him.
Tell me, friend. Oh, you could grasp the wonders of it. If Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and if God was with Him, tell me, friend, when they slew Him and they nailed Him, it says in verse 39, whom they slew and hanged on the tree, on the cross. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. My friend, the Lord Jesus, there at Calvary, was in the place of the curse, in the place of condemnation.
Why was He there, friend? If He was Lord of all, and if God was with Him, why was God's well-beloved Son nailed upon Golgotha's tree?
I want to tell you, friend, He was procuring peace for you and I.
All we that sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way.
There at Calvary, 1900 years ago, the Lord, Jehovah, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, the punishment, with a view to our peace, was upon Him.
We had a debt we could never cancel. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But, oh, friend, that wonderful debt was paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered, and in that offering once for all at Calvary, He satisfied God. He bore the debt, and He bore the judgment that you and I should bear. And God was satisfied, and He showed that satisfaction in that He raised Him from the dead.
The word of peace. Cornelius says, tell me all the things that God has commanded. And then he tells him. And he tells him two things. He says that He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is He,
the very same one that men nailed upon the cross. It's He
that's ordained to be the judge. I want to tell you, if one day you stand in the day of judgment in His holy presence, it'll be the most awful sight.
to fix itself in your mind as you go out into eternal separation from God. The wounds in his hands and in his side to tell you that the one is your judge, he could have been your savior. God wants you to know that, friend. And he will either be your savior or your judge. Good to God that you would receive him as your savior tonight. And then the word of forgiveness. This was the other command to him. Give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him or trusteth in him shall receive remission of sins. How simple, my friend. God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And if God is satisfied, why can't you be satisfied tonight? On the basis that his justice was satisfied at Calvary. That he paid the debt for me. That he paid the ransom price. God has found the ransom in his presence. God found that was satisfactory to him, by which he is willing to offer a full and a free salvation and pardon to you and I. And whosoever believeth, trusteth in him, shall receive remission of sins. My friend in the meeting tonight, with this wonderful Savior, who's going to be the Savior or Judge of every single person, you're going to do one of two things tonight. You're going to be like Cain, who went out from the presence of the Lord indifferent. Or you're going to be like Cornelius, who found forgiveness in the presence of the Lord. I think it's one of the most touching things to think after God had to reject Cain's offering that we see God coming out and pleading with Cain. Adam and Eve were driven out of the presence of God. Well, if they were driven out of the presence of God, how is it that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord? Well, because the Lord came out to where Cain was. The Lord came out to Cain where Cain was, just as the Savior came in heaven. We find the Lord pleading with Cain. I think it's just so sad. When he could have done the same as Abel and would have been accepted by bringing the offering that was suitable, it tells of Christ. He turned his back in indifference. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out of his own free, voluntary will. But he made the choice that sealed his doom for eternal damnation. Cain went out of his own voluntary will. I want to tell you that the day is coming in the day of judgment when he's going to be called, an obligatory call, into the presence of God. And as he hears the sentence of condemnation, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And Cain, and everyone who goes out of the presence of God without Christ as their Savior, they're going to flee from the presence of God. No hope, no light, no love, no refuge forever. My friend, could we plead with you to be like Cornelius? He realized his need of a Savior. He believed the message of peace. And he simply trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he received the remission of sins. To him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. God says it. I believe it. I trust you'll do the same tonight. You'll never forget it. Take God at his word. Accept Christ. And the living Christ who is over all. God bless it forever. And is Lord of all. He will save you. He will save you.